Chair, I just missed communicating with the committee, so to just to confirm if the Honourable Chamberlain's apology is on secret.
Thank you very much, Lucille. We've got also one standing apology for Honourable Member Khan. He can remember to those apologies and just proceed, but we know the procedure that members have to submit written apologies to FUNA for them for recording videos. In future, I think we have to do the same because members of the secretary that can do that if they're not around here. Honourable members, last week we circulated a draft BRRR to members, for members to go through the report, what is important in the report and recommendations. We started the process, but we agreed in the meeting that members agree with those recommendations. But if there are any additions to those recommendations, those additions are supposed to be submitted to the chairman for them to be consolidated in the draft BRRR report. I'm told that no member has submitted any input. Then, can you then proceed with the one with our meeting? We've got the minutes here. Can you check the minutes of the 81st of August? Take one of the minutes. Page 2 of the minutes. Page 3 of the minutes. So, I have a question.
Thank you, Chair. Look, I leave it up to your judgment as the chairperson whether it should be included in or not. But we certainly, from the DA side, expressed a very strong view that it was unacceptable that a constitutional or the restitution of Land Rights Amendment Act, that it was ruled unconstitutional. We expressed the view very strongly that this could have been avoided if the legislative process was conducted properly, and it was not a mistake, it was actually, it was an unacceptable mistake given the information available to Parliament at the time, the concerns raised in Parliament at the time. So we expressed a very strong view there. It is on Hansard, so I'm not going to die in a ditch whether you include it in the minutes here or not. I leave it up to you as the chairperson whether it should be included.
I think it was just a comment
whether
the matter was discussed,
but you're correct to say that
it's on the
100th.
Can we then
proceed with the minute? Oh, sorry.
If there are no additions, corrections, can I then get the mover for the adoption? Honorable Mandela. Seconded by Honorable Makaka. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Can I look at the minutes of the 18th? The minutes of the 12th. We're looking at
the 12th.
The 12th. Yeah. You said for today, it was Wednesday and Thursday. Page 1 of the minutes of the 12th.
Madam Chair, page 1, under
Commissioners Register. I see that we are written all under the same column or bracket. Or what does that mean? And there's no party indications there. Mr. Gitani, Walters, Matthias, Rutania, grouped together.
Hey, maybe you've jumped ship.
Not an alliance.
Yeah, Chairperson, it does indicate higher up Democratic Alliance, and then there's not all the parties I mentioned, and just wondering, since myself, my own name appears there twice, do I get two votes in this committee as well?
Can we get explanation for that?
I know it's not too bad.
I think it was just
an TW.
There's no explanation.
Okay.
Just
okay.
But
there's a new one of
Calpati. Which is
during the course of the Auditor General's presentation, we propose that the recommendations of the Auditor General, that we adopt those recommendations as the committee as well. They made a set of recommendations in the presentation. It says here the committee agreed that the outcomes as presented by AGSA would assist in re-engagement with the DRDLR and its entities. But we also specifically said the recommendations should become committee recommendations, and I just think that's an important point to make.
You are correct,
you
said we are adopting those recommendations and also assist with regards to the oversight, with regards to the implementation of those recommendations. Can we move to page 3? Page 4. Can I get a mover for the adoption of the amendment? Honorable Walters, moves. Honorable Matras,
I'm not sure other board has to go and support the report in the House.
Many
so
of the 13th of October.
It seems like I'm usually active on the minutes in this meeting, so it's just how it happens. I just wanted to also check with the rest of the committee the issue of, and I know Member Fultani speaks of it as social impact of policies or call it of the what the ITB is doing. I know in the DA we refer to it as sustainability of the projects, whichever way you want to put it. The point was also made that the concern of the committee is that we are find it very difficult to see what impact, whether it's in terms of sustainability, whether it's in terms of the improvement in livelihoods. But that point, I think, also came out. And again, Chair, it's one of those things that I think it is on Hansard, but it might be useful to include. And I, again, leave it up to you as the Chair to make a ruling in that regard.
Yes, Honestly, Parry Chair, thank you. Honestly, Parry Chair. Okay.
I think we've emphasized the fact that Honorable World Task was already involved there with regards to ITB and the department, that we're going to get clearly what impact are the projects that have been changing the lives of the people. I think we have to do that. Honorable World
Task. I think a profound observation was made on the ITB's performance, that there was glaring underspending, but mitigated by a very huge overspending in program two, and which then made it look like there was a fair performance, whereas there wasn't. In program two was overspent by about 50%, and this would be a way of couching that.
I think it must be integrated to the issue which we've already stated concerns with regards to the surplus of 55 million, which is supposed to be used to change the lives of the those people under ITP.
Can I then get a move on with the amendments or the petitions for the adoption of the taking for Honorable Women?
It's my turn to move.
Honorable Women moves. Any second? Honorable Madela. The last set of minutes. Minutes of the 19th of October. Yeah, different format. Things are changing.
The format.
The pie charts and
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we have to consider these. These are drafts. Can I get an explanation on page one under members? Or explain it.
What is it? Honorable
member. Honorable member Roberts with the star, what does that symbolize?
It's an alternate member.
No, I can answer.
He's
a supporter of Sundowns. Sundowns has been down. The star.
I don't remember. Can you move to page?
On the same point. On the same point. Maybe Chair, Mrs. Pula would then, once you put that star, you go somewhere and you make a good note. It's after taking comments on this. Well, that check is not for you.
It has been noted for everyone to understand the name of the process. Then page two, that's the second page. Page three. Sometimes they're saying Dr. Malente, other instances, Dr. Malente. Tightly I did too.
Sure.
Let the correct title be used. Roll out. Honorable Ngun.
Thank you, Chair. No, I just wanted to under concerns. Yeah, it's a serious violation in academia to leave out one's title or to spell it wrong. There's never a comfort zone. With this doctor will never be comfortable being told that we called mistakes. So please, move to our next. Chair, on a serious note.
Chair, on the serious note, on the FFC, I remember we raised an issue about them completing the first section that was highlighting key dimensions. I think the point was about the FFC looking at government spending in terms of RAF versus urban or something like that. Because this is just for the record, Chair. Perhaps if you go to 3.2 something, 3.2.2 something.
Let the team check it and just see how to rephrase that. Can I then get your move for the adoption? The minute with the addition. So
no, it's not test.
No, Matessa.
I vote for the adoption.
Most for the adoption. Any second thank you very much, honorable members of the minutes of the 31st of August, the 12th of October, the 18th of October, and also the 19th of October. Thank you very much. Can we then move to the second item on our agenda? As that indicated when I was making the remarks, that last week we circulated the report.
So, Chair, before that, do you have matters arising on these points?
I took some of the matters on the report.
I'm not sure if our oversight visit which are on the reports, like the last set of minutes, which is dated 19 October.
Public hearing?
Yeah, last, take a last page, which is item 5, announcement.
Which one?
Page 9 October. 19 October.
Okay.
Last page, item 5, announcement.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to find out what is the move or the shift that we are inspired now to change our oversight during the week and then we intend them to come over the weekend. Even the coming one is over the weekend. Unless I need clarity, what was the decision made based on that?
So I think the decision that we're changing of this meeting, we are aware that while we're conducting the public hearing, because one of our responsibilities is to listen to the people. Most of the people were raising the issue of the time, that we are calling them late, while the people of the to work. Even the people are supposed to pull in for us, the local municipality, and not the department. So we've decided that since most of the participants, when we've conducted public hearings, they were raising the same thing that better for us to change to the weekend because we'll be able to get the stakeholders that we want, the farm dwellers and the farm workers. I think that is the reason behind our meeting. I think Pumla will also act on the change.
I wanted to propose that if Honorable Mthlongo is comfortable, Chair, raise the point, we deal with it when we deal with the next oversight, because there could be a number of other issues, so that are not emanating from the minutes, like the catering like that was not the PE and all those. So perhaps while this one issue can still fit in, a number of other issues will then be lost if we discuss it outside that framework of the, maybe when we discuss the next visit, as Oral Trump correctly points out, if the next one is proposed on a certain date, so when we discuss that, then we can, but that if he's comfortable, absolutely, Chair.
We must not also forget the issue of the, I think that is one reason of the parliament program, because on those weeks, it was a committee week. But if the afternoon sessions like plenaries, we can't go there during the night. So we're forced to do the oversight during the weekend as we've done in the Western Cape, because we're not doing it for the first time. Even in Western Cape, we've been here for the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I think we did it on Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been guided by the parliament program.
Honorable Chair, meeting. I feel disadvantaged to attend these meetings over the weekend. I wanted to move that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It becomes very difficult sometimes to choose when you coordinate events, committee events during the week. Members bring their party issues on those days. They don't attend those events, they attend their party things. So we use the time that we have in front of us.
This thing is not my thing. But, Chair, just a bit, it's not a point of debate, it's just the way that we've been dealing with it from the DA side is we alternate participation between our various individuals and try to create a balance in that way. And I suggest what we should, I don't know to what extent it affects the parties with only single members, but I think we must try to make use of or alternate and at least try to make sure that there's one person from each political party present in the oversight tools. I think that's given the realities of the pressures on all of us. I think that's the best way to deal with it.
Thank you very much. The date will not be suitable for all of us, but we need to just make sure that all parties have got alternate different available, alternate better matters at school. Can I proceed, Honourable Members? Honourable Christian, I will receive your apology. Welcome. I thought you were surprised who's Honourable Christian, because while I'm saying Honourable Christian, I look at your money, you look at my peers. So I was just surprised who's Honourable Christian. Look at your alliance friend. Thank you very much. Honourable Member of Communities. I was just saying on the report that we circulated the report last week. We agreed that members have to just submit, make some submissions to the Tamanente before Friday. I'm told there were no submissions that have been made. So today we have to just adopt the BRRR report. Unless if maybe there's one member who's got a pending issue, but we've given members time to go through the report and make some submissions. It's over to the members. I think the proposal that we made with regards to the issue that has been raised by Honourable Walters of the Auditor General of the Nation has been just accepted on the report.
If everyone else is comfortable, Chair, I'll just go ahead and also to add to the background that we did quite a lot of work on the BRRR report last week before we were kind of caught up in a time trap. And perhaps, Chair, based on that, anticipate that if not all of us will be comfortable with it to fly, and accordingly, I look for the adoption of the BRRR report as it states.
Honourable Members, there's a proposal for the adoption of this Honourable Walters, Honourable Members.
Chair, we would like to reserve comment. It's something that we want to discuss within our broader caucus and our policy cluster and the DSA. So we're reserving our comments at this stage.
Madam Chair, look, I've participated in the BRRR debate on this portfolio committee, I think, once, and this year will be for the second time. And I remember in the last occasion we assumed the minority position. We rejected the report out of it. I want to know the implications of rejecting such a report and what does it feel to
especially for the ruling party, members of the ruling party. If we go into the House and present our dissenting view, because it's like each time when you do so, it's like ungrateful. What are the implications, and what is the hard feeling of such a perhaps you must clarify that, so that when I made my input here, we should know why there's a hard feeling, or why there's a sense of being ungrateful of the work that the department is doing. Can someone answer that question? I will come back later.
I think this is a committee, it's a report. And when looking at the content and the recommendations, it's what members raised. It's not what each party raised, but it's what members of the committee have raised. And also there's nothing controversial on this recommendation, because if we're saying we don't adopt this report, it means that our discussions in the committee meetings are just a futile exercise. Because we make a decision, we discuss issues, make the recommendation for the minister to make sure that those recommendations are implemented. The committee report, if you disagree with the report, you can agree with the report here and raise your own issue or your party issue in the House. There's nothing wrong with that. But this is a committee report which contains the issues as discussed by members of this committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. I second the sentiment of moving this triple R report by Honourable.
Mm.
Mm.
Honourable, I think Honourable just explained some clarify some of the procedures so that the Honourable Madame can say on the other issues with the first one.
Thank you, Chair. The committee is an extension of the House. Therefore, in the committee, members have got an obligation to adopt the report of the committee. Then members of individual parties have got a responsibility to follow the mandate of their parties. If, for an example, the ANC decides not to reject the report of the department, when you are debating in the House, you will be debating the report, the annual report of the department. Therefore, you've got the right not to reject it, not to accept it as a party if you wish to do so. But the report is the committee report. It's not a party report. It does not reflect the party issues. It reflects the discussions and the engagements of the committee as a collective. Thank you.
Honourable
Mathias,
do you want to make a follow-up?
Yes, because I hope that the response will come from the majority party. But I appreciate the reply. I appreciate the reply from Cisco. I'm asking this because in the House, when we debate, Honorable Nguni or the chair or even the minister will say, no, Matthias, you are disingenuous. In the committee, you agreed with all of us that the report is okay. They play a blackmail, a game that borders on blackmail. That it's as if when we are quiet or we don't raise our dissenting view at the level of the committee, that then means that we have endorsed the report. I need a clarity around this because there are areas for which, yeah, I will have to raise with my caucus and for them to grant permission on the whole range of issues, of which some of them I discussed with. There are two or three points which, if we were to have the discussions on this report, I would be in a position to raise. Thanks.
I'm repeating it again that this is a committee report. If we adopt this report, we're adopting it as a committee.
But when you debate it, you've got the right to raise whatever the mandate of your party. But this is a committee report. This is based on the discussions, not of the party, but of the discussions on the committee, of the committee. That is why we make these recommendations as a committee, that you have to follow up the department whether they're implementing this resolution. You've got the right to say, I'm seconding the adoption, but in the House you raise whatever, that although I seconded the, I supported the committee report, but I've got this view. Honorable Walters?
Chair, maybe just to put what you said in a different way, in this body, at least in theory, you know, individuals, if they don't agree with the report, they vote against it. If they agree with it, they vote for it. And if they, as an out case, we need to compare it with what's happening in some of the other committees, you reserve our comment. I mean, that's the obligation, of course, is of the chair to put it to the floor. If the committee adopts it, then it becomes a committee report. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with even members of this committee agreeing to a report and then going back to their caucuses, and if they get from their political party a different instruction to vote against it now. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Obviously, there's political debate of a particular nature around this. Maybe if I could just take a minute of the committee's time to tell an anecdote. When I was a councillor in Johannesburg who was on the Rules Committee, and we were looking at new rules for the Johannesburg City Council, and the committee agreed, and you know, the DA at the time wasn't the governing party, and when we got to council, you know, the ANC caucus decided that they didn't agree with some of the points. So as the opposition, we were saying, but you agreed in committee. Why are you coming now to your house and changing your mind? So I do think we mustn't confuse the political debate, which often speaks to you know, the individuals concerned and the emotions around it, and this process. There's nothing wrong with somebody even agreeing in this meeting, and then afterwards, if your caucus tells you to do something else, then he's doing something else. And I don't think it's something we should. I think it's something we should feel comfortable with as a committee as well.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. I think now it's clear there was a move for the adoption of the report by Honourable Nguni, and it was seconded by Honourable Magaida. I think the reservations of the DA
noted.
Any time.
Maybe you must say
Chair, look, I think just to be absolutely clear, we are not commenting at this stage. It's as simple as that. So we're not against or supporting, we are preserving our comments, and of course there's a particular process in our own party how we deal with this. So.
Thank you for that, and Shifty, and Mandy.
I know that you are trained in
same as you.
You are trained in military tactics, and you know what it means. You know what a decoy is or means. You also know what a booby trap means. don't lay down booby traps and decoy signals in sleep. I hope we will be playing the game fair and square, and there will be no blackmail at the end of the day. That some reserve their comment, but strange, here they come, they object, not they reject their report. Or some chose not to say anything. I want to put on record that it was about 3 points for which if we were to have time to express our opinion in them, you will surely understand where we come from and the basis on which we will not agree with the report. So that must be on record. Thank you so much.
You don't agree.
Yes.
Okay.
Chair, I thought that for the sake of being complete, Honourable Matthias was going to raise the 3 points so that clearly we can note that this was the basis for them not participating or not adopting. I don't know if you would persuade the chair to do that. I guess we press for time, but it would make much more impact if really has space to take the 3 points.
I'm not going to deal with the three. I'll just mention one. 4.1.1. The regular fruitless and wasteless ending. As long as we've got such an item, it's page 13. As long as we've got such an item, and it stands as a remaining, as a standing item, God permitting, and for all goodness, there's no way we can agree with a report of a department which continuously in its report has an item called irregular, fruitless and wasteless. This is just but one. Will in the debate in the House raise other points going forward, Madam Chair? Can I now go home and sleep?
You still want to think about the other
two? No. Well, this is enough.
No, I think that is noted by CIS. That is why we have made a recommendation as this committee, because we're saying we're not going to lack of compliance of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. It doesn't mean that when it appears in the report, we're saying that we allow it, we condone it, but we're saying we need compliance. We will ensure that we play our oversight to make sure that at the end of the day, the public purse is being used for the peoples of the poor.
May I ask,
Honourable Futter, and then Honourable Mwoni.
Thank you, sir. What is, just raising this point, I'm not coming up with any argument, just to sensitize people about an issue that affects the whole governance, if you like. What is discouraging is the fact that, in spite of these regular reports of irregular expenditure and wasteful and under-expenditure, we never hear the department telling us that how they have managed those consequences. Nobody gets suspended. Nobody gets punished in any which way. We never hear about people being given any serious warnings. It's just business as usual. This is what makes one to feel that, okay, it might as well go, because we know that there are going to be no consequences anyway, except where there is actually theft. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just on the item raised by Honorable Matthias, on page 13, that paragraph ends with, drawing on the AG's report, the committee expressed a need for the accounting officer to enhance efforts to take effective steps to prevent irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I thought that at this point overwhelmingly accommodates the concern or the premise from which Honorable Matthias is moving, Chair. But having said that, Chair, I think that I had persuaded that Honorable Matthias raised the issues of concern so that we have an idea as committee and see if certain things can still be winnable at the level of the committee. I do know, Chair, that of the issues that have been raised by colleagues, during the budget period, when the budget is rejected, almost all ANC speakers will stand up and say, if you reject this budget, you mean that school children must not be provided nutrition. If you reject this budget, you mean that, and so on. So all it means is that it depends on what is being discussed during the budget time. Rejection of the budget literally means that. Rejection of the budget literally, if it were to succeed, well, it means collapse of government. I guess that I wanted to comfort my colleague that it's not a question of blackmailing when the governing party will have unanimously all these speakers will always stand against rejection because of the danger. It's like a child towards the fire. Now you see the parent inevitably in all instances will always caution the child because the child is going towards the fire, it's gonna burn. Similarly, during the chair, I have noted and I agree, and I think that any governing party, even the one governing in the Western Cape, must continue to warn against rejection of budgets. That's how I've understood it. But the debates in terms of the annual report, Chair, I guess the way Chair you have suggested and Mrs. Pumla has supported empirically, that's how it should go. Political parties are free to take stance. Now, Chair, the last part is the ideological political. At the level of the House, we don't deal with technicalities. It is really the waste of a public's time. At the level of the House, we deal with the overarching political imperatives. And therefore, I think all political parties should gear themselves to take the stance from caucuses and to advance the policy of their organizations. But I'm just persuading colleagues that we in the ANC also be understood to be advancing the progressive line of the ANC to combat, and to make sure that we don't get government derailed. So that's almost like
point of order, sir.
That's
I don't know if I've heard Honourable Munguni well. Did you say to advance the cause, the lie of the ANC?
No, I didn't.
No,
I didn't.
You didn't say that?
No.
Oh.
No, I think the problem is they've taken the medication from the doctor. So maybe they've given us some of the medication.
No, Chair, all in all, I support that this report has now been adopted and that political parties should really feel free to raise issues, but equally expect the ANC to defend the position of the ANC. It remains the most correct position, by the way, up to date, including at local government elections. 54.something% is still very, very overwhelming. So it remains the correct position has been tested, and even in theoretical terms, I've yet to hear that political theory of a dispensation.
Honourable members, we have noted what the concerns by honourable members were dealing with this interval report. We have noted your reservations. We have noted your disagreement, but. We have adopted the report. Some of the issues we raised them when the report is being debated in the House, if there will be that opportunity, or we'll raise them in a form of questions, or we'll raise them anyway where we get that opportunity to raise them. But the report has been adopted. Thank you very much. Can we move to the next item?
Just to come
in. Honourable members, we took a decision that the support staff of the committee must make the research on the countries that the committee can make study tours in Africa and also abroad. So today I requested them that they must make that presentation so that at the end we discuss and take a resolution as the committee on which countries do we wish to focus based on the presentation that we presented to us. But the report has also been the research report has been circulated to members. I think Pepe Tego just needs the presentation with the assistance of our tech advisors. it seems the site is not server, it's not working, so I'm gonna use a copy of Revelation. And I'm just gonna present a proposal for study tour. So it will be up to members to decide which country to visit. In terms of the outline, the introduction, the proposal for the statutory, comparative of land initiatives, expected in terms of concluding the mass. In the fifth parliament, the portfolio committee on drug development has not undertaken a statutory. The last time the committee went to statutory was 2010, although it's not this committee. Statutory is part of the oversight and accountability model of Parliament as one of the tools that can be used. The purpose of the statutory, the Portfolio Committee on Rural Development and Land Reform would like to embark on the statutory in order to learn from experiences of other countries that have implemented land reform with special focus on the solution. Foreign land ownership restrictions, special planning and land use management systems, and other relevant issues. Lesson on restriction will help the committee to advise the commission on restriction and of land rights, as well as to ensure sustainable settlement of claims in the country, and also through the court judgment on restriction and land rights amendment act, Parliament has come up with the new amendments. Government is also processing policy to accommodate claims by indigenous people with land loss disposals before 1913, which is the effective policy that actually the amount of the nation address. That is, they want to explore those to accommodate claims by descendants of Khoi, Sen, and other African people that were disposals before 1918, and in the current stage, there's still a process, there's no policy as yet. So I think also going to good places like Canada, the committee will learn out issues with the agricultural claims. And so during the 2015 State of the Nation address, President Zuma announced government's intention to institute a ceiling on land ownership, and also prohibiting foreign nationals from owning land but have long-term lease agreements. In line with this announcement, the regulation of agricultural land holding bill 2017 is going to be tabled in Parliament in June 2017 in terms of the program of the department. The committee can learn from other countries that have restrictions on foreign land ownership and land holding. The committee can also draw lessons from countries that have implemented special planning and land use management strategies in order to advise the government on how to improve the implementation of the special planning and land use management act of 2013. Okay. Therefore, among other things, through the statutory, the committee will be able to learn from other countries the process of land restriction, the successes and the challenges. To understand the types of institutional arrangements that are there in order for people to receive and manage the land, to share experiences and review applicable legislative frameworks in facilitating land development and various land holding mechanisms, including land use management strategies, to draw comparison with relevant parliamentary committees that conduct oversight on land reform. South Africa and the proposed countries, namely New Zealand, Canada, Kenya, and Ghana, were all British colonies, and therefore they share similar experiences of land dispossession. So I've done a table looking at all the key issues that the committee could do. In terms of New Zealand is, in terms of land reform, is regarded. New Zealand is regarded as one of the land leaders in implementing a successful restriction which is implemented through three institutions, which is the special court, Waitang Tribunal, and the Office of the Pre-Treaty Settlement. And with the special court, it might be related more to the land claims court,
yes,
in terms of South Africa. And the Waitang Tribunal is an independent body which also investigates and historical claims. And the Office of the Treaty of Settlement is the one that is used for settlement to negotiate settlement agreements. In terms of foreign land ownership, the New Zealand is guided by the Overseas Investment Act of 2005, which regulates investment in certain New Zealand assets by non-residents. New Zealand consent is required from government overseas persons to acquire an interest in real estate, such as estate is the rural land and is greater than 5 acres, or includes or adjoins land that is considered to be sensitive. There's also a Foreign Ownership of Land Register Amendment Act of 2014, which proposes the establishment and maintenance of comprehensive register of all foreign-owned New Zealand lands, which is, I think, the similar thing that South Africa wanted to undertake. In terms of the register should contain names, nationalities, and also the amount of the, and the value of the land that is under foreign ownership. On the issue of special planning, there is no proper action policy framework for special planning and land use in New Zealand. Competency for special planning is at local government, but there is also a Resource Management Act of 1991 which promotes sustainable management of natural resources and fiscal resources. In terms of Canada, the Canadian, when you look at land reform, the Canadian Constitution of 1989 recognized the existence of original people and their rights. And the federal government actually negotiates two types of land claims, the comprehensive and specific land claims. The comprehensive claims actually deals with claims that they were not covered in terms of, because in Canada, for instance, the Crown had to negotiate treaties so that they can settle white settlers in those areas. But then the comprehensive land claims, those claims where there were no treaties signed. And then the specific land claims where there were treaties that were signed, but they were, then they are actually not fulfilled. So the original can claim under those conditions. Then in terms of foreign land ownership in Canada, it's only the provinces that are responsible for legislation of land ownership. And 5 out of the 10 provinces have adopted legislative measures aimed at limiting land acquisition by foreigners and non-residents of corporations. It is only British Columbia and Yukon that the sale of Crown and land is debt of Canadians only. And in terms of special planning, there's no national legislative framework for special planning and land use management. The special planning and land use is dedicated to provinces, and therefore it varies from province to provinces. And the provinces, in one province, we have, say, the limit to 4 hectares, and other 10 hectares, which depends, what it varies from 4 to 100 hectares. The individual or 1,240 or corporations. And in Kenya, there's no land restitution. The Kenya embarked on a land acquisition and redistribution program aimed at seeking political, social, and economic stability. The focus there is on settlements. The Land Development Settlement Board was established in 1962 to administer settlement schemes. And the best well-known scheme is 1 million X settlement scheme, which is used to accommodate masses of landless families. And the Kenya land policy is mainly directed at the registration of land title for communal areas. In terms of foreign land ownership, the constitution of 2010 in Kenya
is that a non-citizen can only vote land on leasehold tenure, and leasehold cannot exceed 99 years. And then any lease that was beyond 99 years, like 999 leasehold held by some multinational companies or individuals before, would be entitled to 99 years lease. Special planning, the 2010 position also resulted in the Ministry of Land, land initiating the National Special Plan, which is aimed at planning for every inch of land in the country to facilitate social justice and national cohesion. Then in Ghana, also there's no land restriction, but mainly land tenure security and limited redistribution. Since 2003, the focus there was on reforms of land administration mechanism, and the latest land reform program of the land administration projects. And then in terms of first foreign land ownership, in Canada, in terms of 1992 constitution, the non-citizen is able to acquire land on leasehold for a maximum of 50 years, while local people can acquire land for a 99-year period. On the issue of special planning in Ghana, they only started now the land use special planning bill in 2016 to revise and consolidate laws on land use and special planning. Aspected lessons from New Zealand. In taking the steps for New Zealand, the Control Committee can draw the following lessons. How the government of New Zealand has dealt with the restriction of land claims by indigenous people. As I've mentioned, New Zealand is recognized as one of the world leaders in implementing the restriction program for indigenous people. The committee can also lend assessment support provided there for beneficiaries. The role of different institutions supporting land restriction process. The committee can learn from experiences and challenges encountered in those institutions. The committee can also learn the way New Zealand has implemented and monitored restriction on foreign land ownership, as well as the effects of this restriction on land ownership patterns and investments. Then expected lessons from Canada. The committee can learn from the Canadian process of restitution, especially the claim settlement process, which is a step process. The committee can also learn from how structures and policies are created for restitution work and impacted on the lives of Aboriginals in Canada. The committee can also draw lessons from settlement support provided to Aboriginals for land claims. The committee can also learn from application of restriction on foreign land ownership in different provinces and the effectiveness of these restrictions. You can also learn how special planning at provincial level is applied and how it links to national priorities. You can also draw lessons from the cooperative development initiative to support cooperatives. These lessons can be applied to the AgriParks initiative. The committee can also draw lessons from the Young Farmers Forum, which is the government initiative to support rural. The expected lessons from Kenya, the committee can draw lessons on how government has implemented the settlement scheme, especially the well-known 1 million acre settlement scheme, which has made considerable achievement for accommodating masses of land and families. The committee can also learn from the land registration initiative undertaken in Kenya, especially its impact on agricultural productivity, investment, and access to credit. You can also learn from the successful cooperative development initiative, which has the energy environment for it, because it's a special ministry of cooperatives and marketing in Kenya. The committee can also learn from more than 5 years' experience in rural services in order to advise the government on how to improve its national service costs. Program, which is NASDAQ. I can also add that the government actually visited Kenya, I think, 2004, to also learn on its rural steps. In expected lessons in Ghana, the committee can draw lessons. committee can draw lessons from the land administration project, which has made considerable achievements in the transmission of land administration system in the country. Can also learn from how the National Commission and the 10 regional commissions administer state land. Can also learn the benefits and challenges of the duration and restriction of land acquisition by citizens and non-citizens. Can share experiences on developing legislative framework of special planning and land use management. Then the conference will last. Looking at the expected lessons from each country, it is clear that the committee can learn more from the study to Canada, as there are more than 5 areas of interest. While in Kenya, it will be able to draw lessons from diverse issues within the continent, which our country is currently grappling with, such as allocation of rural to communal areas, rural enterprises development, that is cooperative system, and successful school development initiative for rural. However, the decision on which country to go depends on what the community is that is have done.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mana. Any additions on the presentation?
Thanks. I think Tendi covered most of, in fact, the presentation is comprehensive enough and covers most of the issues. Only to say that you will realize that this is at a very high level, so it doesn't give in depth or details. And the purpose of the study tour really is for the committee to go and learn and find out for itself. What we will, however, do is, once this is approved, and we will then start a sort of an in-depth kind of research to bring out what are the issues, what is it that the committee must then forecast. So we actually waiting for guidance from the committee, which country do you think that it would best to visit. Then we can just really go into that country and understand a lot more about, you know, work in that country. And I think the reason why we chose this country is we looked at, and actually this emanates from our strategic plan, with the areas of focus. We know that the communal land tenure policy is something that is being discussed. And there are a whole lot of ideas. Other people are calling for issuing free title, you know, freehold titles to shall I say, traditional councils, or some are calling for issuing of title deeds to individuals, households. And so countries like Kenya, which has tried this approach, we think that it provides us with lessons to see, you know, what are the successes from that? What are the weaknesses? What do we learn? If we go that route, how do we improve? If it is not good, what would be the alternative? So, in our case, trying to balance this whole notion of customary tenure with the statutory, you know, freehold title. The other issue that we think this committee is looking at, the department is looking at, is this exceptions policy. How do we deal with land claims by the Khoisan groups, land claims that predate the 1930 cut-off date? That policy, we've been waiting for it. It's not coming, so we think New Zealand, Canada, these are countries that have looked at the indigenous claims. How did they deal with those kind of issues? Maybe we can draw lessons from that and also help in shaping that particular policy. If you also look at work around the special plan, which was the special SPLUMA, which was passed by this committee or the previous committee, there are developments, and we just said it's going to be administered in the president. Reasons that we've asked in the recommendation, reasons for that, but we think that other countries can begin to show us, you know, from their experiences, how is it being managed, and if they're talking about a national spatial plan, who coordinates that? Is it, and perhaps the question about who and where may not be relevant, but it will be useful to see how other countries with similar experiences like ourselves, how do they deal with those kinds of issues. I think that's what we will be guided by the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members have been listening to the research presentation. Can you just
Chair, I think first of all, I think it's a very good choice that you're being presented with, and I think it's both options are well argued. I think the case for Canada is going to depend on how urgent there is a legal obligation on Parliament to deal with the Restitution Act. So I think that's the one consideration we need to take in terms of looking at the Canadian option. Although the discussion that we had, while there's that specific urgency, there's also a very urgent need to make land reform work and make it work for the poor, and how it relates to property rights. The DA's position on that is very well known. We believe there's lots of dead assets in South Africa that either is created through failed land reform projects or is a legacy of the past, but it's really about turning our poor into people productively included in the economy and basically getting everyone to own property and be prosperous. That's our position. It's not a rehearsal for the debate, so I'm sure that Mme Nguni will be surrendering afterwards. But it's only teasing. But I'm merely saying that because that is our interest in land reform to see it work, and that relationship with private property to us is a particular interest. So our inclination would be to support the visit to Kenya, but I think one must weigh that up against the obligation on Parliament to deal with the Restitution Act. And we are also quite prepared to be led by the committee in that regard, but as in stand, our preference would be for Kenya.
Thanks for the opportunity, Chair. I'll be looking at two issues mainly. One is the process, and the second one is the choice. I think in order for us to arrive at a conclusion as to which is the best option, we need to first agree as a committee on the identified needs. I have the doctor giving us a brief overview of the identified needs that we'll be looking at. But I wish this could be documented. I wish all what he has just said to us had been circulated to us so that here we agree, but we haven't lost time. We can still agree, put these points down and say, this is what we are looking for. Then you can then go and look at resource to address the need. When we go out there, which country will best address what we need as a collective? Yes, different political parties have got their own preferences and priorities, but we need to agree as a committee, this is what we'll be looking for, because when we go out there, we'll be looking for something for the government. Secondly, so that's the process I'm suggesting. Let's agree first on what we're going to be looking for, because that is what will inform our choice. Insofar as the choice is concerned, I happen to know that up to 2009, Canada had the indigenous people there made up something like 5% of the population. I don't know if it has changed, but I'm sure it has not changed much. I would love to know what the situation is in New Zealand. And the reason I'm looking at the two is because, therefore, this common factor that we have, that is, restitution, whereas we don't see much of that, according to this report, in the African, countries. So that's why my choice would be narrowed down, between the two. But having said that, I also know that Canada is a federal state, and we are a unitary state. So that we need to factor also into our choice as to whether we want to look at a federal state, because the variance between it's got 8 provinces, can be as big as anything. I actually visited Canada in 2009. The state of Vancouver is totally different from another one. Prince Edward Island is a totally different piece of land with its own unique administration, totally different from the northern parts of Canada, where you find most of the so-called red Indians. So I'm not sure which state we would visit, where we would find the centrality of the issues that we're looking for if we go to Canada. I'm not speaking against Canada. I've experienced the roughness of the Atlantic Sea when you fly over it, 8 hours. but I'm not speaking against Canada. But I'm just giving you what little I know about Canada as at the last time I visited it in 2009. So we need to look at those issues. Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Look, the idea of undertaking studies to do comparative case by case research and benchmarking is not a bad idea. But it becomes bad if there's no clarity of what is it that we want to achieve with such a study research. It becomes bad if we have not clarified our national pressing imperatives of such a research. Otherwise, it becomes a nice trip to these places. Now, we ought to clarify the national imperatives. And what are these national imperatives? And once we agree on that, the choice of countries will guide us towards the realization of such imperatives. Now, we are now presented here, which is not a bad idea, as I said, with four countries. And each country's case is argued extensively. And the common defining feature of all of these is that all of them were former British colonies. That's the defining feature of all of them. But why these four? What are the outstanding trend, land reform trends that we can take lessons from of the four countries? Despite and over and above them being former colonies. Now, I would be happy if we were to define the national imperative. Part of the question which we must answer is how can historical land dispossession, which created a situation of accumulated white privilege through land ownership, can be reversed? This should be the fundamental question which must define the national imperatives for us to undertake such a study. Because once we are clear about this, we'll be guided, we'll be directed, we'll be systematic in undertaking a research study to whatever country and come back with refreshed and new ideas, which would serve towards breaking new ground for radical, planned, systematic, state-led land redistribution. There's no point of going to New Zealand if going to New Zealand is not going to answer this question. There's no point of going to Kenya if going to Kenya is not going to answer this question. Because the question today in this country is about land ownership, it's about landlessness, it's about land tenure system, it's about the conditions of farm workers. It's about people who are beneficiaries of land restitution and whose land now stand unused and unproductive. It's the question about how do we go beyond the 1913 cut-off date and deal with the exception cases relating to the Khoisan people. So let's define and get to a position where we agree on this national imperative. And answer a fundamental question. How historical land dispossessions which created a situation of accumulated white privilege through land theft can be reversed? And
And once we agree on that, we can go to any other country. But such a country must be informed by this question. Why can't we think of countries in Latin America? Bolivia, Venezuela, Zimbabwe, and countries such as those, and go and take serious lessons there than to go to these countries which are defined in the image of the former colonizers, the British. These are defined in the same image, just like ourselves in South Africa. We are made in the image of our former colonizers. And that reality you cannot escape unless if we take bold decisions. And that begins with the trip that we want to take and the choice of countries we want to go to.
Chair, I'm tempted to get into a debate on ideological grounds, but look, that's just, I think, because we're politicians. But it is something that I agree with Member Matthias. It's, we must ask which country we're going to, or most likely to live from, and I think we need to ask what is the current priority. Now, I think from a restitution point of view, I also take the points that Member Fultani made. Canada has a different spatial reality. It's a big country with lots of land, where there's also a different legacy in terms of your historically or as they call it, the First Nations people, in terms of maintaining its cohesion, maintaining a treaty relationship with the government. It's also a different sort of legal and institutional reality. I think there's things we can learn there, but I don't think we need to go there to learn. That's for my personal opinion. When it comes to New Zealand, also one can, it's also different from Canada, but it's also, again, it's a pre-existing agreements with the Maori people there that got sustained and changed. It was an existing institutional arrangement that got changed. It's not the same as our reality as well. Again, I think it's things that we can learn about the restitution without going there. I would want to go there to go and watch rugby, and that's not a good reason for this committee to be going. You know, but I will be a happy person the day that we can crush New Zealand in rugby, but that's not likely to happen. It's also not a reason for us as a committee to be going. If we look at, again, the lessons that speaks to our reality that we want to change, whichever ideological route or method we choose, I think we all agree that what we want a different reality in terms of land ownership in South Africa. We want a different picture. We don't want to reflect the past. We want to have people engaging with the future. And for that to happen, we must all choose the likely country that we can get the most knowledge from. And that's exactly for that reason that we propose in Kenya. It has a recent history of land dispossession. They dealt with it in a particular way after independence, but also the reality of communal land and how to productively employ that. They also have a very similar issues to us in a more recognizably similar way to our history than I would suggest Canada, Ghana, or New Zealand. I think Ghana's reality, there are all kinds of things that happen in their history, but it's also a different ownership reality. There is a different political reality. Did not have a minority that, or white minority for that matter, that owned and farmed and formed a local population there. So in Kenya you had. So I disagree with Member Matthias on some of his proposals and solutions, but what I do agree with him is that we must look to something that we can learn from as a committee and actually take it back and make something and derive value from it. And whether it's in the form of a study tour or not, I think that ultimately is a financial issue. But I would suggest for that reason, Kenya is the best study tour to consider.
Thank you. tradition and the ideas for her and our own daughters. I think the proposals or the ideas they put in front of us are well thought through, actually. I think if you want to look at the first couple of pages of the report, they clearly outline what would be the actually, what is the kind of things that we as a committee can gain from in the study to achieve. In that subject, they clearly also indicated some of the countries in particular has a historical, shared historical roots in terms of being colonized in the main by the same country. They are all British, former British colonies, you know. So I think for us, if we want to, let me also say, Che, I do not think there is a single country out there that meets the kind of characteristics that we have. We are a unique country. We can't model ourselves on any other country, actually, because our countries, if one look at Namibia, Namibia have taken a decision not to look at restitution at all. Yet, how they, the struggles that they have been raising there and our struggles are very much similar. Zimbabwe have taken a similar route in the beginning, but they have somehow embarked on a much more radical process of reclaiming the land. So we are saying we do not want to go that route either. But it would be actually great to look at the Zimbabwe tobacco industry, you know, to make comparisons before the land grab, one can put it like that, and now, Chair. But also, Chair, I think Kenya is a good example. Ghana itself is also a very good example. But Chair, the reality is that if we look at Canada, the proposals around Canada, it is very, very much interesting. One look at the Aborigines, the first people there, and one look at the same in New Zealand, or one country that has a similar history is Australia. And I mean, it's not been fleshed out yet. But of course, the researcher could not flesh out every single country. I mean, that's the other reality. I think the expected lessons to be learned from Canada meets what we need at this very, very moment. And I certainly would think that Canada, even though I must confess, person from a personal point of view, I am not a fan of Canada. It's too cold. I think one could derive great lessons from a visit to Canada. Link it to a visit to a neighboring country like Kenya. I think I certainly would think we will learn great lessons from that. Chair, I don't want to complain, but you're giving Honorable Walters a lot of leeway. He was the one opening this debate, arguing strongly for Kenya, and he was allowed another bite at the same time. I'm not quite sure what's happening. But the argument for Kenya, if I have to propose two countries, certainly it will be Canada and it will be Kenya. Most definitely.
Thank you, and thank you, Chairperson, for giving me the opportunity to speak in this committee. When it comes to overseas trips or trips for learning or class tours that we need to do as a country. I always suggest that, by the way, I'm Zumiswa Rantu. I'm now an alternate member that will be formally introduced to this committee. My take is always to the presenter that I want us to look at the situation of South Africa. You know, in South Africa, we are a diverse country. We are a country that has got land that belongs to the traditional land where.
Maybe Madam Chair, we must have a proper introduction of the new member. But before a proper introduction, you can't introduce yourself. You must be. Can we grant the honor of being introduced properly? and secondly.
But can you wait for that?
I rise on a point of.
Oh, sorry, you have interest. You have interest, Matthias.
Can she be properly introduced? Can she be properly inducted?
She's not available.
I raise a point of order. Can she actually make a point without getting, you know,
what is this?
She's new and she must make a point. It's up to her to whether she introduces herself.
We can't talk and talk over one another.
What point of order you raise?
Honorable Matthias, Honorable Member Rantu introduced. The Honorable Rantu is the alternate member.
Who?
Honorable Rantu. Zukiswa Rantu.
Yes.
The Sangoma Trust. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. That Sangoma thing.
What
is the point of it? That Sangoma thing.
Thank you, Chair.
That Sangoma thing is my point of. That we're not dealing with matters such as that. Witchcraft and things like that. We deal with land reform and rural development. That's exactly the point.
No, you must bear with her. She's new in the committee, so she can't differentiate between Isangoma Trust and Ingwenyama Trust. But both ITP. Isangoma Trust, Ingwenyama Trust. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. I know you know, Chairperson. Usually, men do not resist
to show their interest
to a new person.
Point of order,
new person. I just want to. Hold on, Honorable Rantu.
I'm keeping quiet.
Honorable Member. Ningam Fidisu, Honorable Rantu, will commit another for the Pinda.
Chairperson, my point is, Chairperson, on a serious note, Chairperson, I am saying we should look at the situation of South Africa. South Africa has different cultures. South Africa has adopted a different constitution than other countries. And also in South Africa, as I have already said, there are pieces of land that belong to chiefs and whatever. When we go to a study tour, I always believe that we must look at a country that has got more or less similar situation like South Africa and how they deal with issues that are similar to those of South Africa. Because I know South Africans, they don't leave a thing lying without asking why is it at that place. So I think in whatever that, because you go to a study tour,
chair, and you get there, you've got original people that are are in that country, but they do not have land. And the constitution of that country do not allow them to have land because of certain issues that are with, that are happening within that country. That's my input, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Roger. This is a good committee. They were just, you know, honourable members of some time. Mm-hmm. Like, you must just accept them. Honourable Ngoni.
Madam Chair. That's how we're baptized in this committee.
Chair, I don't know about the Honourable Walters getting all the bites, and he insists that, Chair, because you are in blue today. All the colors belong to the ANC chair. So even the one who's wearing red is wearing that ANC color. Blue is an ANC color. So the ANC owns all the colors. Chair, on a serious note, Chair.
He was not
like
German.
He
was not serious, it's fine.
The South African flag, Chair, thank you. Chair, on a serious note, then I also join colleagues in commending the research team, our compliment team, Chair, for the great effort that I see in front of my eyes. And Chair, persuade everyone in the committee to say the starting point is the workshop we held for 2 days, basically, put up a center where we then put clearly pronounced our priorities. The second thing that I want to comment now, moving from there, we have an action plan and stated priorities as a committee. The second is the three tier, if you like, Chair. Land reform, foreign land ownership, spatial planning. You know, those areas are great areas for this committee to really focus on. And therefore, again, applaud the effort. But also, Chair, in the past experience of some or most of us or all of us, sometimes you go to a country, the scope is narrow, and you find that the meetings are sparse and there's not much to fill a week-long visit. And therefore, that our scope is nicely broad, yet very, very critical to our work. I really applaud Chair. The land reform in its broader context, foreign land ownership, every other country in the world has a policy on that one, whether it's a silent policy, it has a policy. The spatial planning, every other country in the world should also have some form of a spatial plan, how it is respected and adhered to, what regulations emanate from that, and so forth, you know. So Chair, I think that the team did wonderfully well there on that aspect. Chair, on the choice of countries, I would agree, you know, and I'm not blowing my own pipe. Some of the delegations were even led by myself at some point, and to a whole range of countries. Honorable Madela talks about weather. Hey, Bulgaria, Wabandabu. You know, when they are at minus 10, that's like a normal day. And one delegation led by the chair with the Honorable Njomane, Washington, hey, Wabandabu, Njomane. I think Honorable Mthongo has a nice shirt he still has to date that reminisces and reminds us nicely about about. But I'm just saying, Chair, the weather is also an issue sometimes. Even within the country, by the way. Even within the country, I do know of delegations that will turn back and forth. Abalegi is suffocating. The so-called is for the altitude things, you know. So the weather, Chair, has been alluded to by Honorable Madela. It depends on the timing when we get our it can be worse and comfortable in any country, you know. Ever to have a life to carry, you know. But at some stage in the Frankfurt, in Germany, the countries, I want to propose that we merge at least two. I see the point raised by Honorable Matthias. And he has, now he has Matthias, and he has then the H2H, and he has then the H2. But sometimes we don't always win the best that we. Cuba, if Matthias will bear me, tell everyone that it was my country of choice, Cuba. But I've not been there, and sometimes it's like, it's not a sentimental thing, it's like the realities of work before us. Cuba is an island, probably not very much with the experiences we can. So I didn't even bother to try and influence the chair that we put in Cuba among these countries, not at all. But Chair, I wanted to propose that with this kind of work, but we must be mindful of another constraint. There are 30-something committees in this parliament. Out of the 30-something committees, they all want to go and study talks. So I guess we must be swift if we want to win our study tour and be prepared to compromise. When I was making an example of myself meeting a delegation to a country, some other. It's just a consensus in the committee and persuade check on it. If we get this okayed, it means therefore we might have an advantage of being on top of the queue for the study tours and available dates on the parliamentary program. Chair, I seem to support the work in the manner that it stands. But I want to go to the page 13. And you know, researchers and academics, they do like that. They have literature review, they have what that analyzes further data, and then they then draw deductions. I want to arrive at page 13 and with that in mind, Chair. So looking at the expected lessons from each country, it is clear that the committee can learn more from the study tour to Canada. There are more than five areas. While in Kenya, it will be able to draw lessons from the diverse issues within the continent, right? And propose, Chair, that we take it in that fashion. We take it in that fashion. Where possible, there be an African leg, 3 days, and then maybe 4 days in another. If not possible, Chair, then take it in the order of Canada. We'll be persuaded. I think we take kindly to the lesson raised by Honorable Quintana about Canada being federal. In each of those states, if there's a different policy on spatial planning, then it means in one country we can get as many lessons. So we're not going there to investigate the governance models. That's where perhaps we could worry. Honorable Matera's point is that we are a colony of a special type, and therefore we're not going to be like any other country so much. It's the only one pronounced in the world is CST, or Matthias will remember, the colonialism of a special type. So we're not likely going to get a country with identical characteristics. I persuade Chair the committee to really consider giving the research team the mandate to tighten up the documentation, considering all the submissions, so that we then go to Canada as soon as Parliament can approve to Canada, and where possible, join that leg of Kenya. Yeah, depending on the parliament process, we can split the days and have some in Kenya and others in Canada. So, Chair, I really wish to persuade, otherwise it would be an endless debate because, as I'm saying, I would be tempted to introduce Cuba and everyone would be tempted to introduce Brazil, Venezuela, and so forth. And, Chair, lastly, I may take the opportunity to confirm that Honorable Ranto, the Honorable Members have been noting the medical condition of the Honorable Brigham. Therefore, Honorable Ranto is on her capacity she then, from time to time, would stand in until that situation concerning Mama Kuka is resolved, at which point she may wish to review if she is available for the committee work. If all other due process would then be followed. I do know, Chair, that she is not available to the gentleman who wanted that part of the introduction. She's not available. She's only available for the political work. That's
still alive.
I'm not talking taking it better, Chair. I'm just telling the gentleman, Honorable Matthias, please, Honorable Rando is not available, please. And Honorable Filtan, please, Honorable. Oh, was it you? All of the grant is not available. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable members. What is it now?
Chair, with due respect, Honorable Mguni makes a very misleading info.
Okay,
I will draw. My lays options of other countries. Is it not because of my inclination to wish to go to such a country? Look, I would not have proposed Cuba because there's no record history of land dispossession in Cuba, because Cuba is an island. If I was in a portfolio committee on health, perhaps I would propose Cuba. But in this case, we deal with a specific matter of historical land dispossession. And in this case, Cuba would not be an ideal place to go. So the inference is making is misleading. So they should learn not to make such inferences in the future. Again, lastly, Madam Chair, you know what? They say the more you try to fight evil, you get converted and you get what is called reincarnated. You become reincarnated. And you end up not knowing the difference between you and the evil which you have been waiting to fight against. In the ANC, they used to say, you get in there with the mandate to transform the system, but you end up being transformed yourself. And I get this more often when Honorable Mguni speaks. That is more transformed by the system, absorbed and swallowed into it, and I'm disappointed.
Honourable members, can we just end our debate in this presentation? I think a lot has been done. We're looking at this research findings. Honourable Filter, I've given you an opportunity. I think we're the second one. Because otherwise we'll speak for the whole day on this matter. I want to close this matter now. Just a second.
Thank you, Chair. I've asked for this opportunity to speak, Chair, because I limited myself in my first opportunity. And so let's focus on the choice, on the process first. I appreciate the contribution that has just been made by Honorable Mguni in that regard. Because I've got now where I've got a feeling that yes, there is this commonality of understanding of what we're looking for. And based on that then, I want to indicate why I would prefer a given country. My choice would be New Zealand. And so the reason stated here. That competency for special planning is at local government level, which is exactly what we're trying to do here in South Africa, local government. And so I feel that we would learn quite a lot to hear from them how far they have gone with that. And that there is no overarching policy framework for special planning, and the fact that consent is required from government for overseas persons to acquire an interest, and I think that is the direction that our government is taking. It will give us a good taste of how they are handling, that. How competent are they? What problems do they encounter? And lastly, of course, the fact that there is a significant number of the indigenous people out there. So those are the reasons, in, you know, why I suggest that we go to Canada. Lastly, forestry is very, very strong in Canada. Very, very strong, which is an economic drive, I say. One of the major economic drivers there. So those are my reasons why I would say we should go to Canada. Sorry, so to New Zealand.
Forestry is strong,
Honourable Members, I think the research findings have been just, we are going to have different views on this.
Mm-hmm.
But when comparing New Zealand and Canada, we can see that there's a lot that we can learn in Canada than in New Zealand, as identified in this research document. Some of the issues are within our market, especially in Canada. But nevertheless, we talk of all the countries that we know. But for now, can I just plead that we focus on this research finding that has been presented to us and take a decision on these matters for the team to be able to process the other things. As Honourable Moon has indicated, that there are a lot of committees who are applying for this study, because at the end of the day, in this term. But a lot of work has been done. Can we just okay, so can we just agree based on the information that is in front of us, agree and be honest on the countries? Because we're not deciding for ourselves, but we're looking at these research findings and also what is it that is relevant to our roles or our mandate as this committee. Some were saying Kenya, I think, has been agreed, but now we've got the challenge of Canada and New Zealand. I think all of us will agree that we must go to Kenya. But there's still that, you know, of Canada and New Zealand. But most of the people, I think most of the speakers were just indicating that Canada is better than New Zealand. Then other countries were added. So can we agree that let the application be made based on New Zealand or the study to Canada and also to Kenya? Then it should depend on the response from government, whether we can be able to visit the two countries or one country. Can we agree on that one? Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Puna announcements? On the last leg of the public hearing to Northern Cape.
Thank you, Chair. The application has been approved for the committee to conduct its last year on ESTA in Northern Cape. But I want to advise them for a challenge in terms of lights in Appington. Therefore, members are requested to to understand that they have to sleep over in Northern Cape on Saturday. I've learned a lesson from Mr. Madela last Saturday, where he had to leave at 11 o'clock. Therefore, there was no value for money for his presence in that trip. So we should take into consideration the money that we use and the time that a member, the duty of a member in that particular meeting. So our suggestion is that we sleep over, because there's only one flight, which is at 12:45. We will be much closer to finishing at that time. Even if we can start at 8 o'clock, we cannot make it for that flight. At the Saturday, the 12th of November. Therefore, members will be going back to their respective provinces if those members would want to do so, but they will indicate their choice of preference.
That was an announcement.
Yes. So she speaks of Saturday on what about Friday? Well, when do we go on, you know?
Traveling, we will be traveling to Northern Cape speak over for the hearings that will take place on Saturday.
Yes.
In my problem saying is that on Saturday, due to the flight, limited number of flights, we'll speak over again and go back to our respective province on Sunday.
Sure.
I think it's clear.
Okay.
Well, yes, we have to show you on Sunday.
No problem.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members, Honourable Grant, our alternate, and Honourable Members, thank you very much for attending this event.
Maybe the only person. Maybe the only person.